Welcome to A Spiro Life for April 1st, 2011. The intention with A Spiro Life is to share with you the latest and most up-to-date insights of the changes taking place on our planet. We invite your feedback and comments as to what could assist you as we move towards this collective awakening. If gaining deeper insight into your life is something you value, I would be happy to assist you. My practice focuses on people's understanding themselves and those around them at a much deeper level. Through numerology and astrology, we examine the patterns, conditions, and people at play in your life to help you understand your divine path and fully embrace the changes taking place in you and around you. My website is www.aspirolifestyle.ca for more information. On our show today, I am delighted to welcome Diana Cooper. Many of you are familiar with Diana's books. She's written over 18, and she's just recently released a few children's books. And some of you receive her monthly newsletters. I always look forward to that arriving in my inbox, and experience her understanding and guidance of what these times represent for humanity. Diana, welcome today to A Spiro Lifestyle. We've got so many changes taking place on the planet right now. I'm really anxious to speak to you about what's going on.
Hello. Yes. Well, of course, we're coming into 2012. And 2012, as we all know, is the end of a cosmic era of 260,000 years. It's the total end of the Atlantean influence. And it marks the beginning of the ascension of all the universes. So not just Earth in this universe, we're doing a double dimensional shift, but every single one of the 12 universes is moving up to a higher frequency. And so our universe is moving into the fifth dimension fully, and then the next one is moving into the sixth. The 12th dimensional universe is being reabsorbed into the Godhead, and there is a new first dimensional universe being created. So it's awesome times. There is a huge current flowing upwards, and we have the opportunity to take this current. But of course, it means changes. Now, in my book, 2012 and Beyond, I talk about the 20-year transition that's about to take place. And the full cleansing of the planet doesn't start until 2017. But we have seen massive shifts taking place recently. And it started in a big way with Pakistan. And what I understand is that the soul of Pakistan realized that they were very, very behindhand, and they called their cleansing in early, but they really weren't ready for it. And they made quite a shambles of sorting it out and dealing with all the problems. And so the souls in Queensland were, and I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about the higher selves. And also the animals there, they offered a huge sacrifice, the animals. But the people of Queensland are very strong and tough and sturdy, and they wanted at a soul level to show how it could be done with cooperation, with people working together for the highest good, with calling in help as it was needed. And so they offered to do their cleansing early too. And they showed the world how to do it with grit and determination. And then, of course, we had New Zealand. While New Zealand was teaching us different lessons and warnings, they were showing us that if you build on a fault line, there will be problems and challenges. And Christchurch is right on a fault line. And so New Zealand is relatively pristine. It is going to have a much easier transition than many places because the land is pure, but not along the fault lines. And so people know that if they move away from the fault lines there, they will be relatively safe. But again, it was a warning. And then, of course, we come to the terrible, terrible tragedy that's just happened in Japan. And what we are being shown is the extraordinary resilience, the nobility, the the patience, the endurance of the Japanese people. They are really demonstrating how to help each other, cooperate. They've had no looting. Everybody has been working together to help. And they are showing us how it's possible to handle this lesson, which is about everyone cooperating for the highest good. And that is one reason that the spiritual world chose purification to take place on the planet in this way, to give as many people as possible an opportunity to demonstrate their higher qualities. Now, of course, those who passed over, it seems very, very terrible and tragic for us at a lower frequency, but we know that everybody who passed over had a prior agreement to do so at that time and in that way. And I believe that the other lesson that Japan is teaching us is that we're not ready for nuclear reactors. And we really need to look for ways of powering our planet in natural ways, using wind and sea and other ways of doing it. We are told by the spiritual realms that when the whole world is at peace, then the governments will be able to cooperate and truly harness ocean power and such other ways that we can use power appropriately, and we can power everything without damaging or hurting the planet in any way. And so working for peace is very important on many, many levels.
Well, and it's fascinating to me when I observe Japan. I feel exactly the same way. When you see how they're operating collectively, it's very honorable and peaceful the way they're doing it. And the other thing is that the way, because our media, our internet is so instantaneous, globally, we're able to see it. You know, you've got, I mean, I've been on YouTube with my children looking at these videos and on the news, and they're tweeting and everything else, so you really get a sense of what is going on there. And I think you're absolutely right. One of the reasons I think this reactor has been so, you know, the center of everything is it's really going to draw attention to the fact that the other energy that we have available that we haven't allowed to come out, because a lot of it is free energy, let's face it, if we can cooperate, those things will start to manifest.
They will.
In a way.
Enormous.
Huge.
And it will, as you say, start to come into fruition as soon as governments can all work together for the highest good. And this, you know, we're talking about the 20-year transition. This is not very long. We have got 20 years to get it right on this planet. And I believe we will. There is such a huge spiritual input and surge taking place everywhere right now. And I tell you, another interesting thing about these disasters is I'm principal of the Diana Cooper School, and we have teachers throughout the world, and how important people are. Now, when the tragedy happened, I think about the teachers in New Zealand, the teachers in Japan, and are they all right? And how connected we all are.
And more and more so, all the time. You're absolutely right. One of the things that I wanted to get clear with you is because I think that there is a lot of confusion about 2012, and I've seen many people focus just up until December 21st, 2012. And I want you to explain a little bit about why you see what you see 20 years past that, because with many spiritual teachers, there's not much discussion about what happens past that point. And I mean, you and I spoke about this earlier. You know, I think 2012 is going to be a lot about, you know, for the general public, similar to what we experienced on December 31st, 1999, moving into the year of 2000, that, you know, it happened in a way that was somewhat anticlimactic. So can you give us a little bit of information about what you see over that 20-year span and why you see that differently than a lot of other people do?
Well, I think the emphasis is different. I see 2012 itself, the 21st of December, the cosmic moment of the source light coming in, as a moment when people can open up at a cellular level and take in the source light, and this will make them feel very different. And if they're ready, open up their spiritual channels in a way that hasn't been possible until now, bringing back a lot of the wisdom of Atlantis. But I don't see anything dramatic happening at that time at all. I see it just as a steady flow upwards, but with more doorways opening. But there are amazing things happening in 2012 and beyond. One of them is the opening of the 33 portals, the cosmic portals, carrying the Christ light, the energy of unconditional love. Now, in my book, 2012 and Beyond, I give a map of where they all are and exactly when they're opening and what energies they carry. And these will start to bring the Christ light in to the land and spread it everywhere. In addition, there are, well, there's the Olympic Games. Now, London is the Earth Star, the spiritual Earth Star chakra of the planet. So it's not by chance that the Olympic Games is in London. It was always going to be there. And at our human level, we have all these discussions and arguments, but there was never any doubt. It had to be there to bring light into London and excitement and celebration and all the higher energies so that the cosmic portal there, the Earth Star, can open. And when the Earth Star opens, it triggers open all the other fifth dimensional chakras around the world, including the stellar gateway in the Arctic. And that is the link to source. And that is what enables the source light to come straight through to us. There's also a crystal skull being released in 2012, and that's the Incan skull. And that's hidden somewhere in Peru, and it will be found by its keepers. And although it's not going to come out into public mention, they are going to hold it so that people can feel the influence of its energy. And that was originally Thoth put his energy into it, and so it's bringing forward his incredible wisdom. We're all having much more opportunity for the 12 ascension chakras within our bodies to open. And we are all being more connected to the wisdom of Atlantis and Lemuria for the first time for a long, long time. Now, the divine feminine is coming more into the planet, and the full moons around December 2012 are going to be particularly powerful. This will have a cleansing effect on us, but we will also be able to access the divine feminine directly. And a lot of people have been remarking how special the full moons have been in recent months and even years. And this is because the divine feminine energy is getting more and more powerful. So there are huge amounts of really amazing things happening. You asked how I see it. I think that there will be a lot of cleansing in that 20-year transition period. However, it's up to us. If we cleanse a ley line, then we don't need to have an earthquake on that ley line. Now, one supreme example of that was Haiti. That earthquake took place because that country had been practicing black magic and it had caused a huge blob in the ley line. And so when the angels send the light down the ley line to cleanse it, it created a horrific earthquake. But we have an opportunity. We can cleanse the ley lines much more gently with our human thought forms, with the help of the angels, and then we wouldn't have to have a lot of these awful things happening. We can change the influence of the transition, and we can purify the planet ourselves. We have that power.
So in the case of Japan, what could we have done, or what is, if you're saying that with Haiti there's the energy of black magic there, is there something that is going on in Japan at the same, because we're seeing these people working in such a peaceful, honorable way, it obviously doesn't have the same energy.
No, it doesn't. And I think Japan is a different example. Japan is in the Ring of Fire. Mm-hmm. Now, the Ring of Fire surrounds the Pacific, and ancient Lemuria, which carried a beautiful fifth dimensional energy, is starting to rise. Now, this is taking thousands and thousands of years. There's nothing sudden about it, but it is already affecting the cracks and the plates. And so, as I said before, we are receiving warnings. We've had two, one with New Zealand and one with Japan, about not building on those cracks. And that's why it's happened there. That is beyond our ability, I think, to change. But I do believe that the more light we send, the more prayer energy we send to these places, the less it has to happen. See, the elementals and the elemental masters, they work with the element energy. So you've got water. And if humans become very frightened, very angry, they project that onto the elementals, who become very overexcited, and that's when the damage occurs. If you take a hurricane, it's just energy moving. But if you excite the elementals with fear and anxieties, then they get out of control, and that's when the damage happens. So we do have the power to change a hurricane into a breeze, if we make our collective thoughts peaceful enough and calm enough. And presumably we can affect all the other elements in the same way, because it wasn't the earthquake that caused the damage, it was the element of water.
Right.
So we can make a difference.
And when you look at the devastation that happened there, and your mind can't even get around how they could move so much debris and where they would put it, you almost have to work with that elemental energy in order, you know, you need to work with a force bigger than yourself to even imagine how that whole area of the planet could get cleaned up, because it's so, you know, there's so much debris there that your mind can't even fathom that.
I know, it's extraordinary. And we have overcome before, and we will do again.
Absolutely. I want you to explain a little bit about the dimensions. And the reason I ask this is because what I've noticed in my reading and my studies is that the dimensions, like many aspects of spirituality, people have different perceptions, or, you know, some people say there's 9 dimensions, and some people say there's 12 and 13, and so on and so forth. I would like your perspective on the dimensions, where they are, how many they are. We know that there's multiple dimensions out there, but within the range that we're working with, what have you been told, or what is your teaching about that?
Well, I have always been told that there are 12 dimensions, and the what we would call the 13th, but there isn't a 13th, is Source. And so the angels work at different frequencies in those dimensions, like the seraphim work at the 12th dimensional frequency. They surround the Godhead and they to create, to manifest the thoughts of Source into creation. We all have a monad that is in the 12th dimension. Every single person on the planet comes from a monad, and so we have a much, much higher aspect of ourselves up in the 12th dimension. And then the 11th dimension is the cherubim. And so they go down through the dimensions until the 7th dimension, where we have the angelic levels. In order to come into a human body, your soul, now this was a great surprise to me when we wrote the keys to the universe. I didn't have any idea, but the dimensions is one of the keys. Understanding the dimensions is one of the keys to accessing the wisdom of the universe.
Right.
Your soul must come from at least a 7th dimensional soul. So you must have come from a higher universe, or your soul must have attained that level if you're working in the earthly in the earthly realms, if you come from this universe. So I think that's very, very interesting, because you then lower your frequency, and you may step it down through another planet like Sirius, spend a little time there stepping the energy down. By the time you connect with the mother, your 5th dimensional, Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when they enter, when they come into birth, they are still at a higher frequency, and often within a few days or weeks, their frequency has gone right down as they've come into physical manifestation and are dealing with all the energy around. The babies do shift their dimension.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the womb, the frequency of the soul varies. And just as some connect with a mother at conception, mm-hmm. and they move into the fifth dimension as they stay near her during pregnancy, then they move into the lower dimension soon after birth. But it is very interesting how they are. And if you're in the sixth dimension, then you have moments of being an ascended master and moments of being yourself. And again, if in the sixth dimension, you have your feet on the earth and you're walking with the angels in another level. So we can move into that dimension for short periods of time. Even the high priests and priestesses of Golden Atlantis, they were between the fifth and sixth dimension. They couldn't maintain the sixth dimension all the time and have a physical body.
So when you're talking about Lemuria and Atlantis, they were vibrating at the fifth dimensional level.
Yes. Atlantis was a slightly higher frequency because the people were fully physicalized. In Lemuria, they weren't physical, they were etheric.
Okay.
And their great gift to us was to leave the crystals, which they'd manifest from the energy of the stars, the energy of some great masters, and Source itself. And they left them within the earth, and they were specifically designed to help us through this 20-year transition. Beings from all over the universes and way back in time have been preparing for this time that we're going through right now.
And they're watching us.
So they are watching. And you asked earlier how I see the progression of this 20 years going on. Because as I understand it, there are already principalities, groups of principalities, which are higher angels overseeing the change as the dinosaur companies who are no longer in alignment with the new paradigm are dissolved and they move out of the way. They must collapse if they are no longer in alignment with the new energies coming in. And they're helping new businesses, those that are helping human beings, helping animals, helping nature, that are truly in line with serving the planet, they are being helped to come forward now, and that has just started.
So the new paradigm for business then is really, because many people have said, well, I don't know if business will be even existent. They're talking about, you know, there not being forms of money and that whole system disintegrating and changing. But I'm not hearing you say that.
Yes, what I am.
You are, okay.
Saying it's happening now. By 2032, mm-hmm. we were told that the money would no longer have any relevance.
Okay.
People will move into fifth-dimensional communities.
Mm-hmm.
In some places, there will be golden cities starting to emerge by that time. So where the land has been cleansed and purified by snow or water or any other form, mm-hmm. and it's deeply clear, there new golden cities will emerge. And they're called golden cities because they radiate a golden aura. And so we will start to have something very different, but money will not be the means of exchange. People will be going back to exchanging goods, sharing, caring, making themselves self-sufficient, looking for beauty and service with love, cooperation. Those are the qualities we'll be seeking then. And many, many countries and governments who have always relied on very hard-working people wanting to get on and strive will be surprised when the people don't want to do that anymore and they start to be more interested in their spiritual development. But we're talking about when the golden age is about to start.
And we have a 20-year transition for that, is what you're saying.
Yes. 11 years of clearing out the old, because we're basically going through a house move. It's like moving from the house that you've been in forever to a completely new house. And we're going through the period now and in the next 11 years of clearing out the attic, making sure all secrets come to the surface. There's nothing left unturned. We look at absolutely everything and examine it to see if we want to take it with us to the next level. Then we have a 9-year balancing period, and then we move into the new golden age.
And so in the new golden age, as we're transitioning from the third dimension essentially to the fifth dimension, as we're going through this shift, obviously people are going through this at different times. So are there going to be souls that choose to remain in this third dimensional reality as it's collapsing, and others that their reality looks nothing like that whatsoever?
Well, as I understand it, as we move into 2032, everyone must be in the fifth dimension, all the top levels of the fourth dimensional frequency, or else they won't want to be here. And then they will either go back to their own universe, or they will stay connected to Earth, but in the inner planes, where they will attend training schools to raise their frequency. And then they will return to Earth, but at a much higher frequency.
Okay, I understand.
The reason that Earth has been third dimensional is also quite interesting. I'm sure you know it. It's because Earth is the solar plexus of this universe, and we pass all fear through the solar plexus. And so what's happened to Earth is that we've had to take all the fear of the entire universe and pass it through Earth, which is a chakra, and transmute it to something higher. This means that we've never truly shone, because we're always transmuting everybody's fear. And the other is that we are the zone that has agreed to free will in the universe. So beings come here to Earth from all the universes to experience free will. And of course, what we found is that they don't always choose free will that's for the highest good. And this has held Earth back. And that's why there is so much goodwill towards us from all the star systems and even the other universes to help us get back on track now. And we have massive amounts of angelic help, of masters coming from other universes to shine their light onto us to get us through this period. Well, we've moved into the fourth dimension last year, and now we have this 20 years to get fully into the fifth dimension. So it's a massive spiritual opportunity for every single soul that's come here. Absolutely massive.
And so raising our vibration then, other than what we have for those people who have been on this spiritual path for, you know, 20 or 30 years or even recently, and we have an understanding that meditation and, you know, breathing and eating properly is what keeps our energy high. Is there anything else that you can recommend at this time?
Well, there are the obvious things like watching your thoughts, talking to the angels. Even if you don't see them or sense them, if you talk to them, they will be responding to you. So ask them for what you need. Then honoring nature and the animals. That's really, really so important. In 2012 and beyond, there are some switches that help us to switch on to the energy of Golden Atlantis and bring it back. And if you look at a unicorn orb, the unicorns have said that they will help you to dissolve the veils of illusion in this lifetime. So you can become totally enlightened in this lifetime if you work with the unicorns on this. Now, the orb, as you know, is the sixth dimensional light body of an angelic being impressed onto film, and it still holds the light and radiates it when you look at it. So if you look at a unicorn orb, then it will start the process, with your heart open, it will start the process of dissolving the veils of illusion. And on YouTube, I have got a little clip of unicorn orbs and the information about seven veils and how they can be released. And so anybody who goes into my website, dianacooper.com, or into YouTube and puts in my name and unicorns should be able to find it. And the unicorns will work with your 12 chakras from the earth star right up and hold them in the fifth dimension overnight. And then you can ask the angels to sing over you, and that will help to keep them in the fifth dimension, bring them up to that frequency and keep them in that dimension. And it's very simple. It's just a question of asking before you go to sleep at night, and they will help you. The other thing that I think is very easy to do and is very effective is you can ask Archangel Sandalphon to place his fifth dimensional bubble over you. Now, you visualize it coming down over you from above and enclosing you and enfolding you, and he will use it to help you stay in the fifth dimension during the day. In fact, I was told not to put a fifth dimensional bubble over my house because I have a lot of people that come in and out of here, and some of them may not be able to maintain that all the time. So Archangel Sandalphon's angel stands outside my gate and puts a fifth dimensional bubble over anybody who comes in, so that in the time they're in my house, they have that fifth dimensional bubble over them. Again, all you have to do is ask. And those are just a few of the things that we can do to keep our energy high, and it makes a huge difference.
I just want you to clarify one thing before we move on to the children's books, because I definitely want to speak about those before we finish. When you're saying, many people are familiar with orbs, but can you, for those who have not read your books, can you explain a little bit about what you mean when you say unicorn orbs?
Okay. Well, an orb is the six-dimensional light body of an angel or a unicorn that impresses itself onto your film when you take a photograph. Mm-hmm. And if your energy is with that, your consciousness is with a unicorn or an angel, then it will come, it will impress itself on the photograph for you. And it will still hold the energy that it came to you with. So, for example, I have orb cards out, and if you want protection or you know somebody who needs protection and you write their name or put a photograph onto the orb card of Archangel Michael, then Archangel Michael's energy will surround you and keep you safe that day. If you know somebody who needs healing, you put their name or photograph on the orb card of Archangel Raphael. Mm-hmm. And so on. I've been putting the Middle East, where the light is rising and causing all this problem, onto an orb of Archangel Butalel, who is the cosmic angel, and he is helping them. If somebody needs more confidence, that's a solar plexus thing, then put their name or your name or photograph onto an orb of Archangel Uriel, and he will help to dissolve your fear and transmute it into something higher. And so all the archangels are represented, and you can use them, and they want to be used, obviously, to help us.
Okay.
It's amazing what can happen when we do this. A lot of people have children who are very ungrounded and all over the place. My little granddaughter was like this. And my guidance was to put her photograph on an orb of Sandalphon, who is in charge of the Earth Star and is very grounding, and Archangel Jophiel, who is a wonderful yellow golden energy of the crown chakra. And I put her photograph onto the two orbs, and I spoke to my daughter a week later, and she said, and I didn't tell her this, and she said, you know, Isabel is so different. She seems so much more grounded and sensible. And I thought, yeah, of course the angels are holding her and making sure that her crown center is aligned and she is able to ground the higher energy.
Which is so important, not just for children who are open to this energy, but also for all of us right now, because we can feel at times like we're being whipped around a little bit, and we do need to remind ourselves to ground. So Archangel Sandalphon is the one to call on for grounding.
Yeah, well, there are two orb books. There's Enlightenment Through Orbs, and we explain all the basics of orbs and how you can tell what the orbs are for yourself. Mm-hmm. And Ascension Through Orbs, which has pictures of all the ascension orbs that will help you on your ascension journey and information about how you can do it. So they were the most fascinating books to write. And we still get sent orbs from all over the world, and we translate them on orbs@dianacooper.com, and a lot gets sent to my Facebook too.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Well, let's move from there onto children, since you were speaking about your granddaughter. I want to know about these books, because as you and I had discussed earlier, it's so important for these children to understand, but more importantly, it's helping their parents to understand what exactly is going on. So tell us a little bit about the children's books that you've just brought out.
Well, the first two have just come out, and I've got more in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. The Magical Adventures of Tara and the Talking Kitten. And it's about this little girl, and life at home and school is dreadful for her. She doesn't know how to make friends. She doesn't know how to talk to her mom and dad about things that really bother her. And then a little grey kitten comes into her life, and she can communicate with it. It can talk to her, and it's their big secret. Nobody else knows. But it tells her what to do and what to say, and it enables her to help her dad with a problem, and she can help a little girl at school whose parents have just split up. And she becomes her friend. And so it's gently teaching parents and children ways that they can handle situations differently. And the second book is where she meets the angels and fairies. And part of this is, an uncle visits them and she feels very uncomfortable with him. And it's giving her the permission to tell an adult. And then she learns how to talk to her own guardian angel. And just what her guardian angel will do for her and what it won't do for her. And the kitten, Ashting, whatever the situation is, he always has a plan to save the situation. And so there's this old oak tree being cut down, and it's a beautiful oak tree where the fairies and elementals all live. And he finds this plan to work with the elementals and the fairies and the threatened species to save the tree from being cut down. And so all the stories have lots of messages in them as well. And I say to my grandchildren now, hey, what do you think that Ashting the kitten would say? And they say, oh, he'd say to share, or he'd say go and say sorry, or whatever it is. And they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the kitten that only loves them and has got no other agenda that tells them.
And they have the insight for that. So how do you see these children right now, present day, because so many of them, I have three that, I mean, are my greatest teachers, and I see how their friends and other children sometimes are so insightful, and at other times, especially as teenagers, a lot of them are struggling because they're so either ungrounded or uncertain, or they don't have the understanding of what's taking place, and they've got all this energy running through them and around them, and, you know, electromagnetic frequencies bombarding them. So, not to mention a school system that, you know, is in the process, as many of us have witnessed, of needing to collapse so that one can rise up that really matches the energy and the frequency of where these children are.
Yeah.
So what do you see for them over this transition period?
Well, I do see new energies coming in. Now, in the Keys to the Universe, I talk about the 48 keys and the two cosmic keys that are now available to us and how we can access them. And one of them is a portal in Honolulu, and which corresponds with the sacral chakra. And a lot of teenagers' problems come from there. And it's starting now to emit a pink energy of unconditional love. And what it's doing is helping teenagers especially to come to terms with their sexuality so they can handle it with wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this means that they then feel better about themselves. So any teenager can start to draw the energy in. You can go to a portal in your sleep. You can go in meditation, and you can connect with the energy and bring it in. Now, this particular portal and its beautiful pink energy is also helping families. And, of course, teenagers are coming up against their families and their family boundaries and their family beliefs and what the family wants them to do,
mm-hmm.
and resisting it. And with this pink energy, it is starting to dissolve all those constraints within families so that children and all family members can feel safe and yet feel free. So it's
right.
dissolving the old in such a way that families can come together and support each other and love each other without feeling constricted in any way. This is particularly going to help future children, but it will also very much help the teenagers now. And if somebody says to me that their teenager is being impossible to live with, I suggest they connect in with this portal of Honolulu and
mm-hmm.
just breathe in the pink energy and start to let themselves change so that the cords can start to be dissolved and replaced by a much higher energy. I think there's huge amounts coming in now to help teenagers and children of every age.
Of course, Hawaii is on that ring of fire, but is there any connection with that energy coming in and the effects that were felt in Hawaii from the Japanese earthquake and tsunami?
I don't really know very much about what happened in Hawaii during the earthquake, but
mm-hmm.
I do know that Hawaii is an enormously important place. It is holding the energies of Atlantis and Lemuria. And that's why it is so extraordinary. And the energies, of course, whatever happens to Hawaii, will continue to remain there. It's also the center of where the kahunas brought their great wisdom from Atlantis, and they carried dolphin wisdom and a huge connection to the dolphin energy. And so that is all going to have an impact on whatever is happening in Hawaii.
So with you... If somebody comes to you, you've said that as a parent, you can focus on that Honolulu energy of clearing and healing within the family and with, a teenager or a child or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
But is there anything that you can suggest that people could do with their children? One I would say would be get them out in nature and get them away from TV and media and so on, but we can see how in our modern day that's very, children are addicted to it. It's part of their culture.
Yeah.
So what suggestions do you give people?
Well, I think the most important thing to do with any kid, whatever age, whether it's a small child or a teenager, is to listen and to really listen to understand. I think most people have lost that ability, and it works like magic. If you let but if you let go of self for a few moments and just try to really tune in and understand the message underneath the message, then that teenager feels that you are really, really wanting to understand instead of dictate,
mm-hmm.
and that shifts the energy action between you. Now, even with an 8-year-old recently, her mother, who is a trained counselor and knows all these things in her head, she was saying to her daughter, "Oh, it's time to go to school. Of course, you'll enjoy school." She'd had a birthday party the day before. "Of course, you'll enjoy school. It'll be fun. Oh, get your coat on. Come on, we'll be late." And the child was resisting and refusing to go. And I thought, "You're not listening." And I literally went up to her. She was on the stairs. And I said, "Oh, well, it is tough to go to school after a party sometimes, isn't it?" "A bit worried about what's going to happen when you get there." She said, "And, she said, I'll be all right now." And she put her coat on. And I thought, wow, I didn't do anything. I just tried to enter her world. And it took less than 2 minutes.
That's right.
Because the children all have their own answers. They all want to move forward and be happy. But we, of course, put our agendas on top of them.
That's right. I think children are like the rest of us. We just want to be heard.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not dictated to. And what however you know, however much you love your child, it is the hardest thing. It really is extraordinary how it is. And yet, the rewards, and I mean, it's the same with any relationship, but the rewards are amazing.
They are. No question. Well, we're coming to the end of our time, but before we close, I just want you to talk a little bit about 2011. We've got 11-11-11 coming in November, but for you, what do you see the rest of this year looking like, and how, you know, we feel this time acceleration happening. What do you tell people, or how do you tell people to negotiate their energy through it, especially when they're, you know, they're stuck in between this third dimensional reality of having families and going to work and, you know, continuing on one path while the energy seems like it's pulling in another?
Well, I think that the only thing you can do is to do your spiritual practices.
Mm-hmm.
Bear in mind all these things. In the keys to the universe, there are all the information that we need to become enlightened ascended masters in this lifetime. And I think if people would practice those things, then this year would go incredibly quickly. I do believe there's going to be a huge expansion of all things that correspond to the light. Because if anybody's in alignment with the light in their work and in their home, then it will be a very good year. And the cosmic moment at 11:11 on the 11th of November will be amazing. We have to be ready. I would suggest that people try to go to a sacred place. If they can't do that, take a few minutes off and meditate at home so that they don't miss the opportunity of the source light coming in. Now, I shall be in America very soon, and I shall be talking about all of these things. On the Friday the 1st of April, I'm in Maine talking about the keys to the universe. And then on Saturday, I'm doing a full day on 2012 and beyond with all the incredible energies coming in. On Tuesday, I'm talking about angel orbs in Freeport. On Wednesday, again, the keys to the universe, which is extraordinary. And then on the Friday, I'm talking about the keys to the universe in Katona. And on the Saturday, I'm doing a full day on 2012 and beyond, again in Katona. All the information is in my website, and I think it'll be really amazing. I'm so looking forward to coming over and talking about these things.
And please give us your website information, your contact information.
It's dianacooper.com.
Very good. Thank you very much for taking the time with us today to share your information and let us know about your new books and your travel schedule. And we will be watching, Diana, to see all the changes taking place on the planet and looking for your guidance as to what we can do to move through this ascension and in a more peaceful and loving and a harmonious way. You seem to have a pulse on what's taking place on the planet, and I appreciate you today taking the time to come and share your information with us.
I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Very good.
Thank you.
And for all of you listening, thank you for taking the time today. That's another show that's flown by. And until next time, keep your energy flowing. Namaste.